There's a big debate locally and nationally about whether public sector workers should be required to pay dues or fees to the unions that represent them. For example, state lawmakers passed a bill this year that will change the way Washington manages home care workers, but critics called it a way to force union membership. A few weeks ago here on KNKX, we heard from a prominent labor leader on this issue. Now we'll hear from Max Nelson. He's the labor policy director for the Freedom Foundation, a local conservative think tank. Nelson spoke with Seattle Times reporters Jim Bruner and Dan Beekman. They start with the new bill.
So there's a lot of context for where 6199 came from. I'll give a little bit of that. Prior to 2014, under state law, caregivers were required to financially support SEIU 775 as a condition of participating in this Medicaid program. The U.S. Supreme Court looked at this arrangement in the Harris versus Quinn case out of Illinois in 2014 and said it's not constitutional. So that decision—
Based on free speech rights, right?
Correct.
Right of association.
Correct. So that meant that for the first time in our state's history, these 35,000 caregivers had the ability, the constitutionally protected ability, to choose whether to join and pay dues to SEIU 775 or not. So what Senate Bill 6199 does is it directs the Department of Social and Health Services to contract out administration of the home care program to a private company. The theory is if they're paid by a private company, hired by a private company, still paid through Medicaid, they'll fall under the National Labor Relations Act, federal private sector laws, instead of our state collective bargaining laws. And that change, the union hopes, will allow them to again require caregivers to financially support the union as a condition of participating in this program.
You know, we had David Rolfin here not too long ago, the head of SEIU 775. They represent home health care workers who use Medicaid money to care for, you know, people with disabilities in their homes. And David Rolf said, pointed out that, you know, before the home care workers were organized under the SEIU 775 auspices, they were making something like $7.18 an hour with no benefits or training. Since they've organized, they've got a series of pay raises. They've got training. They've got benefits. Haven't they benefited from this? And shouldn't they pay? Is there some moral duty to pay for benefits that have been accrued?
So the way that I describe it, there are two fundamental pillars in state law that unions get to benefit from, I think unjustly. We think unjustly at the Freedom Foundation. The first is what's called exclusive representation, and that's what you referenced a moment ago. This obligation, the union would call it an obligation, we would call it a monopoly, that a union has to be able to represent or provide workplace representation services to a particular group of employees. The second pillar is union security, and it's this idea that the union then can force all of these employees to pay for those services, wanted or not. What the Janus case is looking at is purely the constitutionality of agency fees, that form of union security requirement that requires individuals who are not formally members of the union to still pay a sizable fee to the union for those services. Anything that SEIU has negotiated on behalf of caregivers with the governor's office is subject to legislative approval. So at the end of the day, any gain that SEIU claims to have achieved is something that our state government has signed off on and has said, yes, this is a good idea. So there's not really any way to know what would the situation look like now for caregivers had SEIU never come into existence. I mean, they're kind of playing this before and after causality.
You don't think it's a coincidence, though, do you?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that SEIU has never done anything that's benefited caregivers. And again, at the end of the day, it's the caregivers themselves who should be the ones choosing, is this worth the dues money that we're paying?
Is it possible that part of this is a legit management move on the part of the state government?
So I don't know enough. I don't have the level of detail necessary to independently determine whether DSHS is right, that case managers are having a lot of their time diverted to employment administration issues for the caregiver workforce. But even let's assume for the sake of argument that is entirely true. There are alternatives out there that don't involve a transition of this scope, that don't involve impinging the rights of caregivers. For example, if the problem is just administrative paperwork, you know, for $11 million a year, you can hire quite a few administrative assistants to take over some of these paperwork tasks that are diverting case managers from making, you know, checking in on clients and making sure that the clients are being properly cared for.
Is there any next step in that fight, a lawsuit or anything like that?
So the short answer is yes. I'm sure there will be multiple lawsuits that we will be involved in. We've been hearing from quite a few caregivers who are very upset about the bill, who want to do everything they can to fight back against it. With that said, said, we're looking at a fairly long timeline for implementation. The bill gives DSHS until July of 2021 to begin the transition to this private entity. And until that transition starts, really nothing on the ground is going to change for folks. So it could be a little while practically before there's standing to even file litigation. But we're definitely looking at our options and anticipating that there will probably be multiple lawsuits.
That was Max Nelson, the Labor Policy Director for the Freedom Foundation. He spoke with Seattle Times reporters Jim Bruner and Dan Beekman. That conversation was an excerpt from The Overcast, the Seattle Times politics podcast recorded here at KNKX. You can find a link to the whole episode on our website, and you can find The Overcast anywhere you get your podcasts.